It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening, and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years. This evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time and at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, July the 16th, and we are here live from beautiful Austin, Texas. We might have a storm coming in here soon, so hopefully we won't get knocked off the air. Seems like the storms tend to come in when we're doing the show, but so far we haven't been knocked off by any of them, so we're determined to keep going. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this program, is here with us to make sure that we keep making this show run. And we have another great program in store for you this evening. In a few minutes, we'll be joined once again from Boston, Massachusetts, by longtime Boston Globe economics and finance reporter, former reporter for The Economist, and current research reporter for the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, Kimberly Blanton. And this time, Kim is joining us to clear up some myths about Social Security and talk about how to best increase payout during retirement. And this is very valuable information. I think we all could use that no matter how old we are. And later in the program, Austin musician will join us, the very talented violinist Omar Phoenix, and he'll be joining us to talk about what he's doing, where he's playing, and we'll be playing some of his original music. And along the way, I will continue a discussion that I started a few weeks ago, but I'm adding to it as I evolve on this issue, and that is about finding peace in the midst of life's storms, whether those storms are big crisis-type storms or even the little daily hassles that add up to even more stress. So, if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City, practicing here in Austin, Texas, and in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and with caregivers, and for the past few years have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And part of the time, my office is in the really great resource center for veterans and their families, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this wonderful resource, you can check out their website at heroesnightout.org. Want to contact me? Do you have a question or some information maybe that you think I should know about? Feel free to send me an email. My email address is Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, or you can go through my website, drmarakarpel.com, and click on contact, or give me a call. My phone number is 512-626-6973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyche Productions, and it's sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909, or you can send him an email at rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. This evening's program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have Storyhouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. Storyhouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. And throughout this evening's show, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air. And you, if you would like our guests, this evening, Kim or Omar, to answer your questions, then please send your questions while they're still being interviewed so that they can be sure to answer them on the air. And my email address is Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com. And my Twitter address is M-A-R-A-E-K. And if you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com, and you'll be able to get the links to all of the websites that my guests talk about this evening, later tonight or early tomorrow morning. You can also hear previous shows at my website and read my blog and watch videos of interviews that I've done live in person with guests. And you can also hear the podcast as soon as 5 minutes after this show ends by going directly to blogtalkradio.com, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And again, for information about previous shows, to listen to previous shows, read my blog, find out about my book, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com. You can listen to all the previous programs on blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And you can get all of the latest information by following me on Facebook. And my Facebook address is Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. All right, so we're going to take a brief break. Play a couple of commercials, and don't go anywhere, because when we come back, Kimberly Blanton will be joining us to talk about the mysterious topic of Social Security. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. Available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Hell in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us once again from Boston, Massachusetts, research reporter for the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, Kimberly Blanton. And
Good evening, Kim.
And I understand this evening, I hope that we'll be able to demystify the mystery of Social Security.
Yes, we'll do what we can. It's an important topic, so we need to figure it out.
Yes. I just want to let you know we have a storm blowing in here, so if we get disconnected, we will try to reconnect right away.
Okay, great.
We can't control.
I love those Texas storms. You know, I used to live in Dallas, and that was one of my favorite things, where the thunderstorms were incredible. They were beautiful. So,
yeah, and they seem to happen right around the time of this show.
Yeah, right. Yes. Great timing.
Right. So Kim, it's so good to have you back. And I think this really is a very important topic. And right now, since I'm doing retirement planning, I'm really very interested in this topic for myself personally.
Yeah, once you get, I think, into it, what even looking at your own situation, you quickly realize how important Social Security is. And I don't, you know, unless you're mega millionaire, I don't care what your income is. Social Security, you know, I don't care how much you've made when you were working. Social Security is important. I thought the best thing to do first was to just establish for your listeners how important Social Security is for the people who aren't getting it yet. Two-thirds of households in this country rely on Social Security for more than half of their income when they retire. So it's a huge amount. It is the sole source of income for a lot of households. And Social Security is also really important in keeping the elderly out of poverty. And this is especially true of women, since women tend to live a long time. So, and even if you're a middle class person, there are no pensions anymore. So Social Security is really the only pension we have anymore. And it acts just like a pension. You get a check every month. So it's incredibly important, unless you're, you know, Warren Buffett or somebody like that. And it's really important to understand how it works. And it's not that complicated. And you've already paid into the system. You might as well figure out a little bit about how it works so you can make sure you can get the most out of the system when you retire.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and I think we'll get to this, but, you know, just to talk about the amount that you get, to some people it may not seem like a lot, or even if you get more by holding off, it may not seem like a lot, but somebody just recently told me that the amount that you get every month, and even the increased amount that you might get by doing some of your suggestions, get that amount of money from any kind of retirement IRA or 401k, you would have to have a lot of money in there for it to pay off that amount.
Yeah,
every
you'd have to have a lot of money in your portfolio, and not only that, I mean, I can back up and explain how it works, but every year that you delay your Social Security, your check, your monthly check is going to go up about 8% for every year you delay. It adds up to about 70-some percent if you delay from 62 to the last possible date, 70. There is no way that you could get that kind of return in the stock market year after year, that 8% return every year. So in a lot of ways, it's a lot of potential money, extra money for retirees, especially, you know, we don't all have pensions anymore. So it's really important to try to get as much money as you can out of Social Security. Can I just back up and explain why you get more when you delay? It's kind of logical.
Absolutely.
So basically, you know, we're all on this earth a certain amount of time. And, you know, so you start your Social Security benefit on a certain date. If you delay a little bit later, you're going to get sort of your same total benefit over your whole retired time. You're getting it in a shorter period of time. So to make sure you get whatever that is that you were going to get, you have to get more every month if you wait. So that's really all it is that the Social Security is saying, okay, you're not going to get your Social Security until you're 65 rather than the early 62. So that means we're going to give you your Social Security over a shorter period of time. So we're going to give you more every month because you earned it. You should be getting it back. So that's really the logic behind the delay. And it is that your monthly checks will get bigger. Now, a way a lot of people think about Social Security is, oh, I want to get my Social Security at age 62 because I want to get as much money as I possibly can. I cannot tell you how many people have written into my blog or made comments about that or when I've talked to them. I just want to start at 62 because I want to start getting my money right away. And you will get it right away. You'll get it probably for a longer period of time because you're only going to be around as long as you're going to be around. But really, unless you're really wealthy, what matters is you need to figure out, you need to have enough money every single month to pay for the groceries, the gas in the car, maybe you have a mortgage, whatever you're paying. So really what matters is how much you're getting every month. And by delaying, that's how you're increasing that monthly benefit. Yes, you may have to work a little bit longer because you don't claim it at 62. But when you do start getting that check, it's going to be bigger, and you're going to be able to pay off more of your bills with that check. So that's really the argument that we try to get out to people because people really, I think about 40% of people claim their Social Security at age 62. So a lot of people are still doing it, even though financially it may not be the right thing to do. So,
right. So what about the argument that people might give you, well, I'll take that money and I'll put it into some sort of investment.
Well,
if I get it earlier.
Again, your monthly check goes up 8% every year. It is going to be really hard to get that percent return in the stock market. And that's if you're a really good investor. Most of us don't really know. I mean, we have other jobs, right? I'm a writer. I'm not an investor. You do radio, right? You're not an investor.
Uh-huh.
Most of us don't know how to invest anyway. So I'm not going to claim my Social Security at 62. I want to get a bigger check because I know I need money. I'm going to need money every month. So, those arguments don't really hold water. It would be pretty hard to make up the money that you could get from the bigger check. And say you invest the money that you would have waited to 65 and instead you claim it at those 3 years and I'm going to keep working on it, something I'm going to invest it. What if you've lived to be 100? How far is that a little extra money that you got for those 3 years going to really go, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you wait until 65, you're going to get that bigger check every year from age 65 to 100, right? That's a lot of money.
So basically what you're saying is that the government, who controls Social Security, is betting on you not living till 100.
I don't think so. They basically look at it as an actuary, and you have to understand math, and I'm not really good at it. But they basically say, people are expected to live a certain amount of time. Some of us are going to live longer than this average for men or the average for women, and some of us are going to live less. But the fact of the matter is that they basically just go on the averages. But in the end, they have to pay you. Even if you live past the average, they're still going to keep paying you as long as you're alive.
Right.
So
you end up getting more money.
Yeah,
if you live a long time,
you may end up getting quite a bit more money. But also what matters is, how much you're getting every month. Now, the other thing that happens, too, especially for women, the older you get, you may start running out of your, if you're just kind of middle-class person or don't have a lot of money saved, you may run out of your 401k. Say your husband dies, the 401k is pretty much depleted, right? That Social Security can become really important for elderly women. Social Security is one of the things that's really known for is keeping elderly women out of poverty. So if you're assuring up front you're going to claim later so your check's bigger when you're 85 or 90 years old, it can make a big difference too. There's a real – you'll be interested in this. There's actually a really interesting psychology about why people claim. And they're basically – at least according to some research, not everybody would agree to it. But people are afraid of losing out. You mentioned, I want to get that money when I'm 62. I want to get it as soon as I can. People are more afraid of losing money. That's like a big fear for people. So there is a really strong emotional reason that people want to claim their Social Security early is that they're afraid of losing out, basically.
Now, are they afraid that Social Security is going to run out of money?
Well, I think that's different. I think the afraid of losing is, I'm 63. I could have been getting my Social Security for a year and I'm still not getting it yet. People want to start right away. But we should talk about Social Security trust funds. So basically what is happening with the Social Security Trust Fund, that's a great question, is, you know, the baby boomers are getting older. There aren't as many workers to sort of pay to fund baby boomers' retirement because we're such a big demographic bulge, right? So the Social Security Trust Fund has a surplus. You know, we all have checking accounts, but we also have money in our savings account. Our savings account is kind of our surplus, right? The Social Security has a checkbook. They write checks. They take money in from employers for everybody. But they have a surplus. That surplus is going to run out. And I think it's 2034, the year 2034, if I'm remembering right. What that means is they're not going to not have any money. They're still going to have the money that's being paid in by employers, by working people, to fund retirees. But the Social Security Trust Fund is going to run out. I can't predict the future, and I'm not by any means a political person or political analyst in terms of knowing what's going to happen. And plus, none of us can predict the future. I believe that because Social Security is so popular, it's pretty hard to imagine that this will not be dealt with. Of course, with the current Congress, it might be hard to tell. But even if they didn't deal with it, there's enough, you know, money coming in to pay about 75% of benefits. So they really need to deal with the trust fund issue just to make sure the benefits can be fully paid. But it is not only a popular program, it is a crucial program for the nation's retirees and elderly. So it's hard to imagine that it's not going to keep going. I don't frankly lose a lot of sleep over it. I don't know it. I wonder if your readers do, you know, maybe they do. And that would be interesting to learn.
Yeah, but, you know, I have a question about that. I mean, you say there aren't as many people putting money in as there are retiring, but then now we have the millennials. Isn't the millennial generation as big as the boomer generation now?
Yes, and that's a good point. And at some point, if the millennial generation is bigger, so at some point when they're making a lot of money, they'll be putting a lot of money in the Social Security system. But at least right now, baby boomers are retiring now, and millennials are not earning that much yet because they're young, right? So they're putting a certain percent of their fairly small salaries into Social Security right now. Now, when they're in their 40s and 50s and in their prime working years where they're making the big bucks, they're going to be putting a lot of money into the system. So at some point, I don't know. I'm not an expert in Social Security. The demographics, though, will become more favorable. But at least right now, you know, the government spending more benefits than they're getting in. And that's why the trust fund is depleting right now. But I'm not an expert in this stuff, so I don't want to go too far into it, but that's basically how I understand that it works.
Right.
I don't know. Do you lose sleep over it, Mara? Do you lose sleep over whether it's going to be there for you?
Not really.
Yeah.
No, I don't because, well, especially you just said it's the surplus that's going to run out, not the actual money that's needed. So,
right, not the program itself, right?
Yeah.
Right. Although they are going to have to do some fixing of it. It needs some adjustments. And, you know, there may be benefit cuts in the future. There have been benefit cuts in the past. The full retirement age, the age where you get your full benefit, used to be 65, but for boomers it's 66. So boomers have to wait an additional year before they get their full benefit. So that's effectively a benefit cut. So they're going to have to do some things to improve it, and they can be done. But, you know, right now we got to get through healthcare, right?
Right. And I think it will be done because, you know, with the amount of people, up in arms about the possibility about losing their health care, there'll be that many more people freaking out if they are going to lose Social Security.
And the elderly are really, they're very vocal and powerful lobby, and baby boomers, I don't think, are going to be shy about that at all. It's a program that basically has the support of everybody in the country, right? Who doesn't like Social Security? We have a grandmother on it, we're on it, you know, our aunt's on it, our neighbor's on it, right? I mean, it's got a really broad constituency. So I really do try not to worry. I know I really don't worry about it that much. I may be naive, though. Somebody may prove me wrong someday, so we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. And there are also people on it who are not, you know, not seniors who maybe receive it because of a death benefit.
Yep.
Someone
right.
In the family,
right. Disability.
Disability is
a big part of Social Security as well. That's exactly right. You know, one of the things that I think is really important for people who, you know, once you claim your Social Security, there's no changing it. You can't go, oh darn, I wish I'd claimed it 66 instead of 64. I want to go change my mind. You know, you call Social Security
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, I'd like to just give you the money back. I'm going to wait a couple more years. I need a bigger check. I realize that there's no do-overs on Social Security. So that's why I kind of urge your readers to make sure, your listeners to make sure they really, you know, really give it a little bit of thought. And there are some really basic things about Social Security. The first thing I told you is, and I just want to give you the numbers really quickly, if you don't mind, because I think this is
mm-hmm.
pretty powerful, and maybe we'll convince a couple people. So say when you retire, you're going to get I'm just going to use even numbers. Say when you retire, you're going to get $1,000 from Social Security if you claim your benefit is 62. Okay, just to keep it simple, $1,000. If you wait
uh-huh.
and so that's $1,000. Oh, let's say. So let me give you a different number. Say you're going to get $10,000 a year. That's an even number. If you claim it's 62, you're going to get $10,000 a year, right? So it's a little bit less than $1,000 a month. So if you waited until you're 66, you would get $13,000 a year. So that's a 30% increase in your monthly check,
mm-hmm.
the amount of money you're getting in your bank account, direct deposit every month. If you wait until you're 70, you will get $17,000 a year. So you go from $10,000 a year to $13,000 a year if you wait till 66 to $17,000 a year if you wait till 70. So these are big magnitudes. Now, $1,000 a year out of Social Security is a pretty small benefit. Most people, you know, kind of middle class people might be up in the teens or low 20s, you know. So when you think about how much that yearly and monthly income increases in just in real dollars, it's a pretty big amount, and it's just really important for people to really think about it before they claim their benefit. You know, talk to somebody who's retired and ask them, you know, when did you claim, you know, why, and try to, you know, see maybe some different retirees have different views, and you might
mm-hmm.
get a little bit of information that way too. Another important piece of that is that I don't think people know how Social Security benefits are calculated, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to bore you with all the math about what Social Security does, but the one important salient thing that every worker should know before they retire and start getting their benefit is that Social Security uses the highest 35 years of your earnings to calculate your Social Security benefit. So
mm-hmm.
if you get start working at, say you get out of, you know, say you go to college, you get out of college at 22. So 22 plus 35 is 57, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so you would not want to, you know, so that's 35 years, but think about it. It's not just 35 years. You want to get your 35 years in, but you want to, it's not just your 35 years, it's your highest 35 years. How much money were you making when you were 23 years old? Probably not enough money, not very much money, right? So
right.
when they take those 35 years, they're including those years when you were just getting going in the labor force, you weren't making any money. So the longer you work at high wages, the more you're pushing up your benefits so that highest 35 years is actually high.
Does that make
sense?
Right.
So you keep working and you keep pulling in your higher paid years so you can replace those years when you were in your 20s and you were working at the coffee shop or whatever. You weren't making that much money because you were just getting started in your career. And another
mm-hmm.
thing, even more important, is women who take time out to have babies and they take 2 years off or 5 years off or they work part-time for 6 or 7 years. All
mm-hmm.
that goes, you know, if you do that, you may even have some zeros in your 35 years, right? So it says
mm-hmm.
35 highest years, but when you look in there, some of those are zeros. That's going to really detract from your benefit. So I don't, you know, people don't get their statements in the mail anymore like they used to, but you can go online and look at your statement and look and see, do I have 35 years yet? How many of those years are really what I would consider substantial? You know, look at that, because they will show you every year how much money you made in your statement, right? They'll go back and show you every single year. And so look at those numbers. If you see a bunch of zeros or you realize, wow, I really didn't start making any good money until I was about 34 or whatever, you know, rethink, you know, think about what that means. What are my 35 highest years? Are they high enough, right? And so that's a really important thing for people that goes really hand in hand with the decision about when you're going to start your benefits. And you,
right.
know, you keep working and add one more high year that you're 35, are you going to drop out at 62? And maybe you got a couple zeros in there. Or maybe you've got a couple years in your 20s where you're only making $17,000 a year, $10,000 a year, whatever. So that's another important piece of that when you're thinking about when you're claiming that I think is a little harder to explain, but hopefully I have.
Yeah. So in other words, it's not just the added time because, you know, they automatically give you higher money when you claim it later. But
right. More per month because they're squeezing your benefit into a shorter period of time.
Right.
Yes. That's
but
one
not,
reason. Yes.
That's only one reason. But the other thing is that you can actually increase it more by holding on to your higher paying job for a few more years.
Yes. And increasing your benefit. Yes. Yes. Another interesting thing about that, too, you know, women, my mom's generation, a lot of women didn't work. But, you know, I'm a baby boomer. All my friends, you know, worked and maybe they took, but they sometimes took a few years off. Women actually get a bigger bump, a bigger increase in their check if they raise children and beef up their earnings record with a few more years of work, because women are more likely to have those zero earning years or those years when they were working part-time when they're having kids. So it's, you know, it's women really do better by looking at that 35-year issue, even more so than men who tend to work, you know, power through all 30, you know, just power
right.
careers and don't take a lot of time off. So it's important for women to look at that. And it's especially important now because you've got more and more households where women are earning more, maybe earning more than their husbands, and their benefits are possibly more important than their husbands even. You've got situations like that too, and you've also got single mothers. You know, there are way more, I don't know what their numbers are, the numbers of single mothers are is really quite remarkable how much that's grown. And so you know, maybe you were, you know, took some time off, or I don't know, maybe you couldn't quite work full time or whatever. So it's important. It's really important to look at the 35 years for women.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, that, you know, something I hadn't really considered. And myself and, you know, people like me who went to graduate school until I was 30.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't start earning money until, I mean, before that, I had part-time jobs, but nothing really that earned a lot of money until after I was 30. And even then, it was still, you know, a job that I had before I got my license. And then I, you know, so it was very good. So it really isn't until maybe like 35 or 40 that I started earning more money.
Yep. So it definitely will behoove you also to look at this. You know, and none of this stuff is mysterious either. You can go online, like I said, and look it up. If you'd rather have somebody explain it to you, you can call Social Security and they will explain it to you. You can go into a local Social Security office. I think you have to make an appointment to do that, but you can go into a local Social Security office and ask them to explain to you and give you your numbers, right? Here's how much it looks like you're going to get. You know, here's how much you get if you claim at 62, at 66. You know, get
you
the
did,
numbers and look
you
at
did
them,
put,
you know.
You did put in one of your blogs a tool that I got. I clicked on it, and it took me to a tool where it can estimate the increase that you'll get if you wait.
Yes, if you wait, yes. Now, this was interesting. I'll tell you, remember I told you your benefit goes up about 8% a year. Your monthly benefit goes up about 8% a year for every year that you delay. This is a real back of the envelope tool that was created so that people can see it. It's so, but the beauty of it is it's so easy to use. So I'm going to click on it. Here's all they want you to enter. The day you were born and the highest year of income you had. You click on get your estimate, and it gives you a tool and says, okay, here's how much you'll earn at your full retirement age per year. And then there's like a slider on it, and you can slide it and say, okay, I don't want to wait for my full retirement age. I want to claim when I'm 62, and you can see what a haircut you're going to take. Or you can slide it all the way to 70 and see how much more money you're going to get per year. It's done by year, not month, but it shows that. Now, this was actually put together by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB, and they worked with Social Security on this tool. So anybody can do that, too, and maybe you could put that on a website. People could actually go there and try it.
I'm gonna put that link there. I used it. I tried it. It was really easy, and it was really, like, eye-opening to see the difference. So is the highest amount, the highest age 70? Are you still there? Did I lose you, Kim? Did I lose you, Kim? Uh-oh. I think that I have lost Kim. I cannot hear you, Kim, if you're still there. So call back in.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240. Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
Are you there, Kim? Hello? All right, we've lost Kim again. So, Art, why don't you play a little bit of music, and we'll see if Kim can call back in.
Comes a time when you're all alone. Comes a time, gotta write that song. May not make any sense at all, but it's up to you to keep a smile on your face. Now I've been young mostly every day, just like you, don't you ever change. Cause this world's getting pretty old, and it's up to you. Keep a smile on your face. Butterflies down, butterflies down, butterflies down. Now don't forget who wrote you this song, cause there'll be times you'll feel all alone in this world.
All right, and we're back, and Kim is back on the line.
Don't forget this song.
Was that one of those Texas storms?
I think it was something on your end. Are you having a storm?
No, I don't. I don't think any. I didn't know anything happened. I'm on a cell phone. Maybe it got dropped. But we were talking about the Social Security tool, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I don't know how much you heard of what I said, but I had put in.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I had heard what you said, and I was saying that I had tried it, and it was really startling what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious if 70 years old is the top limit.
Yes, you cannot claim your benefit after 70. So
okay.
Don't even try, because you are gonna lose money, because
okay.
That is as much as it will go up. So the claiming ages are between 62 and 70. Baby boomers get their full benefit at 66. If you claim any earlier, you're actually getting a little bit of reduction in your benefit because you're taking it for a longer time. So that might be a better way for people to think about it, is you're going to take a little bit of haircut if you claim it before your full retirement age. So, yeah. But again, you know, it's really important for people to talk to Social Security, look at their statement. How, you know, if you're comfortable going online, go online and sign up on Social Security. There is actually a webpage called My Social Security where you can look all of this stuff up. So, but I encourage the tool that we were talking about is just a really ballpark estimate based on your earnings, and it's not your actual earnings. Social Security actually has your actual earnings, and if you talk to them, you can actually get a real estimate of what your benefit would be. So,
right. Yeah,
so
that's a good
point. I don't know if you heard this before we got cut off. I'm so sorry about that, but this should not be a mystery. This doesn't have to be a mystery. That information is available to anybody who wants it. And so,
yeah. Now, I do have a question, since I am personally working on my retirement right now and seeing the best way. And I went to my accountant the other day, and he was talking about setting up my business so that I would be paying less self-employment taxes. And I asked him, but isn't that going to affect my Social Security?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you can take that money and invest it. But then based on what you're telling me, it's really
look, I'm not a financial advisor, okay, and I work with economists, so we deal with economic stuff. But, you know, the question is, am I going to get 8% a year?
Right.
Is the stock market going to go up or down? I don't know, you know.
Right. But
we know
Social Security is a guaranteed 8%.
Well, it goes up 8% a year. Now, he wants you to pay less in so that you can invest the money. This is really a personal finance question and not a Social Security question. The question is, you know, if some magic investment out there where you can make a lot of money, I suppose it's conceivable that you would be better off doing that than putting the money into Social Security, and you would make more than you would lose by having a smaller benefit. But, you know, anybody who tries to tell me that I'm going to make big money on investment, I'm highly dubious of that. And I would ask him, you know, can you show me the numbers on that? How am I going to make more on my investment money than I am going to by paying it in? And the longer you live, let's hope you live to be 100 years old, right? If you're going to live 100 years old, Social Security is going to keep paying you. Is that money that you invested still going to be around?
Going to keep paying, right.
Yeah, well, you have run through it.
Well,
you
those
know,
are good
the
points.
Most
and I do
thing
want
to think about retirement is, you, again, I say this over and over, it sounds so trite, but when you're working, you take for granted that you're going to get a check every month. When you're retired, Social Security is your check every month. It's your paycheck, right? And if you live to be 100, you're going to get that paycheck from Social Security. So it's an annuity. It's not your 401k, which may have enough in it or may not. You know, it is something you're going to get every month. So I would really challenge him on that before I would do it.
Yeah.
And I would ask him to run the numbers. You know, how much are you talking about? How much do you think I could make? And what percent are you assuming I'm going to earn on this money, you know?
Right. Well, I'll just clarify. That was an accountant, not a financial advisor. So an accountant's perspective is save as much on taxes as you can, right?
That's true. That's a good point.
And isn't necessarily the perspective of a financial advisor who's actually thinking about your return during retirement.
Right. Now, there's a further complicated twist on that, which is Social Security is a progressive program. What that means is if you have a really high income, you're not going to get back as high a percent of your income from Social Security as a low-income person is going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're making, if you're a high, really well compensated therapist, and your radio program's bringing in millions a year, whatever, there may be an argument that adding a little more to your Social Security isn't going to really give you that much. Whereas if you're low income, Social Security is much more meaningful to you when you retire than if you have a high income. So it's a spectrum,
Right.
It's a gradient so it depends depends partly on where you fall in that gradient. But
I wish
every
I was bringing
month
in millions.
Yeah,
I wish.
We wouldn't even be talking about this. But.
Exactly. This wouldn't even be an issue.
Right. So it's just like I said, it's over half of the income for 2/3 of households and then millions of retirees. It's all the money they have coming in. So
right.
It's really important. It's important to get it right. And I think there tends to be a little bit of a tendency with retirement to stick your head in the sand because it's scary, but this is a benefit that you've been paying your entire career. The information is there, and you can find out how to get more out of it. It seems to me, I guess I'm arguing, maybe this is not such a scary thing. It's just more about getting the facts.
Right. And, I would say that, many people can continue to work for a few extra years and certainly much easier to do it in your 60s than it is to have to go back to work in your 80s because you run out of money, right?
Yeah. There was actually a woman at my grocery store. She's so sweet. And I asked her recently, I said, how old are you? You're still working. She's like 77 years old. And I have a feeling she's working because she has to. I haven't asked her, but that's kind of my gut feeling. And, we're all living longer, right? We're healthier. We got all our doctors all lined up for every specialized problem we can come up with. So, we're all going to live a lot longer. So we're going to still have a pretty long, probably, you never know, but, the odds are we're going to have a pretty long, nice, long retirement. So, so it's important to, that 401k is not going to last as long either because longevity is growing up so much that, there's less per year that you can really take out of your 401k in a way if you live a long time. So it's another way to think about why Social Security is so important.
So Kim, you write a lot about this in your blog, and I think it would be great for readers to take a look at some of the things you've written. And how can they find your blog?
So it's called Squared Away blog, as in it's sort of, squaring away your finances is kind of the idea. So if you Google Squared Away blog and Boston College, which is where I'm located, you can find it really easily. I can also tell you the URL, which is squaredawayblog.bc for Boston College.edu. So squaredawayblog.bc.edu. So either way, you can find it. It's pretty easy to find. And there's a search box. So you could actually search Social Security and see what's been written about Social Security and take a look at some of that stuff that I put together. And we have, we have economists on staff who are helping me write this stuff. We like to say, unlike your financial advisor or your accountant or whatever, we're not selling anything. We're looking at the research, talking to the experts. Our people I work with are experts, and we're trying to convey the best possible information without selling. We're not trying to make any money off of anybody. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, well, Social account. Security, my blog is actually funded by Social Security, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right.
Well, I will
thank
post
you,
that
though.
Link.
I'll post that link on my web post so people can just go right there and click on it later tonight.
Great. And maybe that calculator, too, if they want to take a quick look.
Yes, and the calculator.
And you know what else I'll do? I will send you right now the link to My Social Security if people want to start their account online so that they can keep track of their benefits. I'll send the link
Great.
To that as well.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yep.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming back on the program. And
thank you for having me. It's really nice to talk to you. I hope you guys. I'm sorry about the mess up on the connection, but
that's what. You know, that's what happens with a live show. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. And we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
I hope so, too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So we're going to take a brief break, and we have lots more to come, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarikarpel.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarikarpel.com. And so before I go on to talk about the next segment in finding your inner peace during the storms of life, while we're having a storm right here in Austin, let me just fill you in on the news. So Art has been working away at uploading more and more videos. We taped another interview last week that's going to be uploaded to YouTube. And these are all videos of interviews that I have done with guests who are live in the Austin studio. So those who are local guests who are in the studio, we have been videotaping the interview, and we've been doing that since the beginning of January of 2016. So we have several interviews that have been uploaded to YouTube, and you can find them on my YouTube page if you put a search in for my name, Dr. Mara Karpel. And you can also go to my website, and I've been uploading them to my website as he uploads them to YouTube. So just go to my website, drmarikarpel.com, and click on videos, and you'll find all the links to the videos that have been uploaded so far. And it's, you know, kind of it's a different perspective when you actually see the guests. So obviously not all of the guests are videotaped. They have to be here in Austin, but I think you'll enjoy it. So you can go back and listen to some of the interviews that we've done previously and actually see the guest. All right. So as you know, if you're a regular listener here, I have been a contributor to Huffington Post and to Arianna Huffington's new site for health and wellness called ThriveGlobal.com. And so if you want to read all of my blogs, they are on my website. And again, go to Dr. Mara Karpel and either click on publication or click on blogs. And you can find it either way, and you'll see all of my blogs that have been written for those two publications, as well as blogs that I've just wrote for the website. And I should be having another one coming out soon. So you'll be able to see it at my website. And if you follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, you will know as soon as the blog is published, and there'll be the link directly to it. Also, my book is in the next phase towards publication, so stay tuned for that, and you can find out all the information about that as it becomes available on my Facebook page, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, and also on my website under publications. And stay connected for more news as we have more news coming up, and I will make it available as soon as I can. So before we hear the incredible music, the violin playing of Omar Phoenix, I want to talk about finding peace within. And I've been talking about this over the course of a few weeks. Keep adding to it. So this is kind of the next segment in that. And, you know, very often the storms in our own life are our own creation. Sometimes we create these storms by making maybe not such good decisions, maybe impulsive decisions where we create drama in our lives, or by spending time with other people who tend to have dramatic lives. And sometimes we make those decisions because we're looking for immediate gratification. We're not thinking about the long-term consequences. Other times, you know, we create storms by being overly cautious and not taking the risks that are necessary to enjoy a full life. You know, everything is risky. So you want to kind of balance it between being impulsive, but also not just staying home and not doing anything. And that can create storms, more inner storms, where you feel you berate yourself and feel depressed because you haven't done the things that you've always wanted to do in your life, or you don't follow your dream, or maybe you feel unworthy. And this creates the storms of sadness and anger at opportunities missed, and dreams dying. And sometimes the storms are created by our own negative self-talk about events in our lives that would otherwise be neutral or even positive events, but we create negative self-talk around them, or we catastrophize them. Small hassles we turn into calamities. You know, stress is a natural part of life, and it just means any change, whether it's positive, negative, or neutral, that we are forced to adapt to, and it's how we deal with the change. For example, the self-talk and the judging that we do related to that change that determines if we feel stressed out or are able to easily adapt to the change. And life is always changing. You know, as I spoke about last week, sometimes there really are things that I think would objectively be called bad that we have in our lives. That bad things do happen to good people. We all experience loss, we all experience illness, and eventually we all experience death. And so there are really big storms that occur, the crises in our lives. And then there are the daily hassles. And the research has actually shown that it's the daily hassles that cause more stress for us than even the occasional crisis situation. The research shows that the daily hassles, if we deal with them in stress-inducing ways, wear us down. While the crisis situations, many people rise to the occasion when they're under crisis. And usually, if you don't have one of those drama-filled lives, the crisis situations don't occur that often. So it's really the daily hassles that we all have to deal with on a daily basis. For example, last week I was dealing with a lot of technical glitches that, and for me, I get very frustrated. I don't enjoy calling customer service. I had some fraudulent activity on my credit card, and I had to call customer service after having been on the phone with computer problems the day before. And I decided that I was going to turn it into a practice, that I was going to not, I was going to work at not getting agitated by talking to customer service. This was going to be my goal, that I could stay as calm as possible. And it worked for a while. Having that approach let me have curiosity and openness in the process of dealing with customer service and having to be put on hold and listen to terrible music, the same tune over and over again, and connect to a new person and have to tell the story all over again, and get disconnected and have to call back but not get the same person. I mean, if you've ever dealt with customer service, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I decided that I was not going to let it get to me. And it worked for about the first 90 minutes that I was dealing with customer service. I was calm, and I'm very proud of myself that I remained calm for the 90 minutes. But after that, it started to go downhill. It started to deteriorate because it was a total of 3.5 hours over the course of the day that I was dealing with customer service. But rather than get upset with myself or getting upset, I looked at it and was able to feel like that was pretty good, 90 minutes. Normally, it takes 5 minutes for me to become agitated in those kind of situations. So, you know, so what was it about that way of dealing with it that helped me to not get agitated for that long? I mean, that's a long period of time. And I'm going to talk about that briefly in just a couple of minutes. I was listening to an interview the other day on NPR with author of Amy Schumer's work, her writer Jesse Klein. She wrote a book of essays about her life and thoughts about her life. And one of the essays that she wrote about, that she talked about on this NPR program, was about when she won an Emmy. And she had a 3-month-old at home, and she flew to receive this Emmy award. And she was saying that the life of, you know, I'm sure a lot of people out there could relate to this, the life of a new mother with a very young baby at home is pretty stressful. Especially because there's not a lot of sleep that you get during that time. And it was very stark in contrast when she went to this Emmy award, the Emmys, where she received this award, and it was like the highest accolade that you could get as a writer for television. And then while everybody was partying, she had to fly back to her life, which consisted of lack of sleep and having to get up in the middle of the night with feedings and all of that that went with being a new mother. And it made me realize that even when you achieve your highest dreams, your life continues to be life. And life has hassles, and even the biggest movie stars go through maybe even more hassles. We hear about all of their divorces and relationship issues, and so there are movie stars who have achieved the highest dreams of anybody who's in that acting world who've committed suicide. So, you know, achieving your dreams and success and money does not protect you from the daily stresses of life. So how do you protect yourself from the daily stresses of life? That is the question. And last time I talked about, doing meditation, which I think is really important, doing the mindfulness meditation, even if it's just 5 minutes a day, because what that does is it trains your brain. Not only does it keep you calmer, but it trains your brain to have a different approach to the things that happen in life. I've also talked a lot about following your dreams. So obviously following your dreams does not protect you from the daily stresses of life. And when you achieve your dream, it doesn't protect you. But having that focus and knowing that you are on the path, always reminding yourself of the path that you're on towards something that you love and you feel passionate about, is a way through the daily hassles. That, in fact, those daily hassles can increase your enthusiasm for following your dream. So, like for myself, writing has been a really good, working on my book, writing blogs, working on this radio show has been a really good therapy for me when I've dealt in life's even bigger crises, because it opens me up to be more compassionate towards other people who are dealing with those issues. And in my life as a psychologist, obviously, having those experiences makes me more compassionate towards my clients who are having stressful experiences. And it's gone into my writing, and it's gone into my discussions here on the radio program. It makes me more focused on what are the lessons I can learn and being able to teach those lessons to readers and listeners. And I found this really great book by a very well-known Buddhist psychologist, Jack Kornfield. So he uses a lot of meditation in his psychology practice. And I really like the way that he talks about dealing with these daily hassles of life, in that you not only practicing meditation to become calmer and to develop that ability to look and be mindful about what you're thinking and feeling and experiencing, but actually being mindful throughout the day and dealing with, especially with things that you feel that you might feel bad about. So having a mindful approach. So there are four steps in having a mindful approach. One is recognition, and that's the first principle of transformation, as he writes. And it's knowing what is going on. When we recognize what's happening, what's upsetting us, what we feel stressed about, we step out of denial. And I know there are a lot of people these days who talk about not focusing on the negative in your life and the power of the law of attraction and all of that kind of stuff. And I see the benefit of not obsessing about the negative, but if we continue to deny what's actually happening, the elephant in the room just becomes bigger. So, for example, in talking about retirement, like Kim was talking about with Social Security, if we just ignore the fact that we need to have money during our retirement and we don't know how we're going to do that, and we just ignore it, then we don't depth needed to fix the problem. And really that anxiety about it just increases. We're just not paying attention to it, and it comes out in other ways. It comes out in illness, physical illness, when we ignore things that we feel anxious about. So as Kornfield writes, there is a powerful opening that comes whenever we truly recognize what is so. With recognition, we become aware and we're able to to actually do something. As the Buddha said, we can light a lamp in the darkness. We can see what is so. And it's the first step to freedom. So if we're in denial, for example, if you have an illness like diabetes and you're in denial about it, it's dangerous and you're not free because the diabetes is still there. And if you're in denial, then you're not taking care of it and you're just getting sick. The next step is acceptance. And that's the next principle of transformation, is accepting what's going on. Accepting doesn't mean that we say it's okay and we're not going to change it, but accepting is being aware that that is the case. What is happening is we cannot stop the rain from falling. It is falling, whether we like it or not. And so if we can relax and be open to it and accept that, yes, it's raining right now. Yes, I do have this disease, or yes, I have concern about my retirement, whatever it is, then we can then take the steps to change it. You can't improve it until you accept it. Buddhist practitioners say, if you understand things as they are, things are just as they are, and if you don't understand, things are still just as they are. And then comes investigation. That's the third principle. And that is actually noticing what we feel. How do we feel about it? Do we feel it in our body? Do we feel tension in our body? Do we feel trembling? What is it that we feel emotionally? Does this cause us stress, anxiety, sadness? And when we're able to look at that and be aware of it, it actually, the emotions actually move through us, but they don't get stuck. When we ignore what we're feeling, they get stuck. But if we know that we're angry, the anger goes away, or it diminishes a little bit, so that we can then look at it and apply the fourth principle, which is non-identification, meaning that knowing that even though we feel angry, we are not the anger. We just feel it. And we can actually look at it and ask ourselves, is there something that I'm doing to make the anger worse? Is there something that I'm doing to increase my anxiety? And when we do that, we actually start to relax because we realize that maybe it isn't as bad as we have created in our own minds. And we can start to think of solutions. So I think when I was dealing with customer service, I had that curiosity that, okay, this is not such a terrible thing. I feel anxious about dealing with customer service, but right now they're helping me, and it's something that I needed to do. And it's not a calamity. So, on that note, I think that's important. He the acronym that he gives is RAIN: recognition, acceptance, investigation, and non-identification, knowing that you are not the feeling, it's just the feeling that you have. And one of the meditations that helps with that, many different practitioners talk about it, is to actually visualize yourself up in a helicopter or on the top of a mountain looking down at yourself having the problem. And it puts it into perspective. It helps you to see that the problem is not that big. So on that note, we're going to take a break. We're going to play the music from our next guest, Omar Phoenix, and then we're going to talk to Omar about his music. So don't go anywhere. Thank you. All right, and we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And we were just listening to the beautiful music of our next guest, who is joining us on the phone from right here in Austin, Texas, the extraordinary violinist Omar Phoenix. Good evening, Omar.
Hey, how are you?
I am okay. I just want to let you know that when we talk like this, there's a slight delay.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Okay. So, welcome to the program. I'm so glad that you were able to come on this evening.
I'm just very privileged to have the opportunity to talk to you. I was listening in earlier, and it just couldn't have been a better time to join you and to have the opportunity to talk to you. And, you know, I think it's a kind of symbiotic relationship that with the universe that we all have. And, you know, when we listen and we listen to ourselves, I think everything just turns out the right way it needs to.
Yes, I'm glad to hear that. So Omar, why don't you fill us in a little bit about your musical background?
Okay, so I'm not a typical violinist because I did violin and viola in public school, but I never had a private teacher. I grew up here in Austin. I learned very quickly that although my sight reading was pretty much horrible, that my playing by ear was a strong suit of mine. So I began looking for opportunities as soon as I was out of high school and my one semester of college. I began looking for opportunities where I could just express that side of my creativity. And I actually started playing here in Austin at a gay bar in a show alongside drag queens. And I was not a drag queen, but I was given an opportunity by drag queens, and that's how I got my start. And I bought an electric violin, and then I got an opportunity to tour with a group for about 2.5 years, a very large rock orchestra called Dream Sound Orchestra. And then after 9/11, I moved home, had to, because the tour was not going to continue because of 9/11, and I started playing with a local band called The Brew, and then I did that for a few years, and then I started writing my own record and finished that in 2005. And so then I formed my own group. I did that for several years, and then I started touring with a Spanish guitar dance Latin music show called Benice, the Spanish Guitar. And I did that for 4 years, and then in 2013, I kind of fell out of love with the music world because I'd been doing it professionally since I was 18. And I came home and I kind of felt like I didn't really have any answers left. And then it was weird because I just opened myself up to whatever the universe had. And for 4 years, I've been a professional dog walker. And just recently, I was out walking with my dogs, and it was a beautiful day. And the energy was just right, and I just felt it. I felt this was about a month ago. It was right after my 20th high school reunion, actually. The universe just spoke to me through the wind, and the wind blew, and the universe said, "You're ready to do this again."
So now you're back in the music world.
Yeah, not completely. I mean, I'm working on a record now. I'm not, you know, going full out into gigs because I think that sometimes we tend to just go 100% one way or the other, but I think that something I've learned in the many years of doing anything I've done is that a balance is always the healthiest way for our creative spirit to just, you know, find different outlets. And but I'm actually very, very excited about the new things that I'm working on right now because it's kind of taking me back to my roots of how I started, which is kind of what you just heard on.
Yeah, can you tell us about that song?
It's the first song that I ever did as a soloist. It was the original version was produced by a local guy. His name was Dan Johnson. I haven't been in touch with him for a long time, but the original version was very trancey, more ambient, and with what I'm doing now, I wanted to give it a more of a mainstream feel. So then I reproduced the song with the feel that you just heard. It's a little bit more edgy, a little bit more vibrant, whereas the other version was a little bit more spacious. Spacious is the word that I would describe the original version of Dawn. And that was from my album I released under the name Omar Lopez back in 2005. So I think the Phoenix feeling is a little bit more modern, a little bit more up tempo, a little bit more uplifting.
Okay. How many CDs do you have out so far?
Let's see. We have the first one in 2005. We did Forever Red. In 2007, I released a live album, which was some of the songs from Forever Red, as well as some of the songs that I wasn't able to put on that album, but we did them live. That album was called Experience. In 2010, I did honestly what is my favorite album so far of all of my work, Mirrors and Memories. It's just such a beautiful record. I had a lot more creative control by that point in time because I was managing myself. And so I had a lot more input and control over the production. And it was I was just able to really make it what I really had wanted an album from me to sound like. It was just, you know, some soundtrack feeling, and then some of it was more rock feeling, and some of it was more gospel feeling. But it just had the right punch. And it's called Mirrors and Memories. And then from then on, I did a single called Phoenix, and that's when I changed my name to Omar Phoenix. And then just in the past couple of years, I've done a couple of singles. One is called Unstoppable, which is more of a pop single, and then Bad for You, which is kind of a burlesque pop sound.
Okay.
And now I'm working on the new record, which I hope to release hopefully before this fall, so I can give people a little bit of the summer. You know, sometimes we go into the fall. Of course, we live in Austin, so we never really get actual seasons.
Right.
But but this one, the new record is called Bird of Paradise, and it's basically like eternal summer because of it was just interesting how a lot of the music came to me that I'm working on now. It's very summery. It's very beachy. It's very it's something that you would hear, you know, on a nice road trip with all the windows down, the top down on your convertible, going to the beach house, going on the yacht, going to the nightclub in Miami, and then, you know, up late all night in the hotel room, you know, that kind of, it's just a fun record. It's not serious. It's not inspired by anything except for just the love of the summer.
Okay. Now, we're going to play another one of the songs that you sent.
Yes.
Before we play it, can you tell us a little bit about it?
I wrote that song in 2003. That's on the Forever Red album. Forever Red was released originally under Omar Lopez. I'm hopefully in the next few months re-releasing it and taking the old one off of iTunes and putting it back up as Omar Phoenix, but it's still be called Forever Red. Exodus was inspired a lot by my love of Middle Eastern and flamenco music because my heritage is Spanish and Mexican and Arabic. I was actually named after Omar Sharif. And I just really, really felt, I mean, I've always been inspired by that side of world music. I love Middle Eastern music, Arabic music, Moroccan music, Egyptian music, or anything with an Arabian or an Indian sound, and, of course, Spanish music as well. And so Exodus is just, this is also a new version. It's not available yet under my old name, the old. It is on the Forever Red old version, but this is the newer version that is more where I am now.
Okay, so we're going to play that. Don't hang up because we'll talk a little bit more after we play that. Okay?
Great. Thanks.
All right. All right. Omar Phoenix, Exodus.
Thank you.
All right. That was Omar Phoenix, Exodus. That was beautiful, Omar.
Thank you. That's one of my favorites from the old days.
Really, really nice. Really nice.
It's a fun song to play.
I bet. I bet. And it's certainly different than what you hear here in Austin much of the time.
You know, an interesting thing about that particular song is actually Michael Rodriguez, who's the guitarist, the leader of the crew, on the original version of that song, he played an amazing flamenco guitar solo, which wasn't kept for the new version, but he really contributed a lot. To the last record. The new version of that song, I took a really amazing trip to Lebanon in 2009 and 10, and just the music there that they do, it was just so amazing because they take mainstream pop music but put it with like a traditional Arabic beat, and it's just an Arabic sound, and so that really kind of took me in the direction that I did the new version of Exodus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you're not performing other than just coming in as a guest performer sometimes and surprising everyone?
Yeah, on occasion, just because I have a tremendous love for what I do as a dog walker.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps me very, very fulfilled, keeps me very, very happy. I have done some training for dog owners, like working with them in any aggressive or reactive behaviors with their dog, which kind of really struck a chord, you know, when you were talking about talking with your last guest about choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, no matter what we're dealing with in life, regardless of whether it's, you know, a job situation or an illness or, you know, an opportunity that we may have turned down or is waiting for us, it's all about choices. And that's what I tell people if they're dealing with any behavioral issues with their dog or their child, that we can't try to let them figure it out on their own. We've got to take charge. It starts with us. Anything in life starts with us. And I think that that's why, you know, I haven't gone back to full-time performing, because it has to be the right time. It has to be the creative process first and then the expressive process.
That makes sense. So Omar, if listeners are interested in buying your CDs or downloading your music, is there some place where they can go and find all of that music?
Yes, definitely. So the best way to do it for my older catalog is going to be by going to iTunes and searching for Omar Lopez for the older stuff, Forever Red, Mirrors and Memories, and then the Experience album. Those are still up there. And then for the newer stuff, which is a little bit more modern, you look for me, Omar Phoenix, and my stuff is there as well. And then the single that is the last, and this is actually a live recording that you're about to play.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty much from the time that I changed my name to Omar Phoenix.
Okay, and we're going to play that after I let everybody know what's happening next week. We're going to play that song before we go off the air.
Thank you, guys.
So, and thank you so much for coming on the program. I so enjoy your music.
It was a tremendous blessing to be able to talk to you, Dr. Mara. I appreciate you so much.
And you have a good evening. And we're going to play your song in just a moment. And that's the song
that
came out with your new name. Okay.
Yes, and the song is called Phoenix.
Phoenix. All right. Well, you have a good night.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. All right. So we're going to play that song in just a moment. Just let me, before Art knocks me off the air, let me fill you in on what's happening next week. Next Sunday, June 23rd, we'll be back with another program from here in Austin, Texas, and we'll be joined live in the Austin studio by speaker, author, speech coach, workshop leader, and founder of Comer Communications, Jim Comer, who wrote a book called When Roles Reverse, about his experience caring for his elderly parents and what lessons he learned that he can teach us. So he's going to talk about that and Laura Galazunas will report in from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And I'm sure that we will have a musician. I don't know who it is yet, but stay tuned and you'll find out. And if you want to hear tonight's program again, read the information from the show, get to all of the websites that my guest spoke about this evening, or listen to previous shows, read my blog, watch the videos that we've made, you can find that all at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And the links from tonight will be posted later tonight. Also, be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, for all of the latest information. And you can listen to this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/Your Golden Years. This evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald Devere and by StoryHouse. And special thanks to my guests, Kimberly Blanton, Omar Phoenix, and of course, thank you to Art. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone. And here is Omar Phoenix once again.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.